I was excited about getting here tonight because I really got something that I think the Lord's laid on my heart, and I've just been reading about it and meditating on it and thinking on it. And I was really planning on preaching it on Sunday, so we might get it twice. Amen?
Amen.
But I want to preach to you Noah's gospel tonight. Anybody ever heard Noah's gospel? Huh? We hadn't? Well, I'm going to preach it to you. And the reason I want to preach it to you tonight is simply because it picks up right where I left off when I was preaching a couple weeks ago in Matthew chapter 24. And when you read on in Matthew chapter 24, it picks up, he goes right into it. And this is part of the people asking Jesus, how are we going to know what is going to be the sign of your return? The sign of your coming. Amen? So let's stand up real quick, and I'm going to read a little bit, and then we're going to pray. He says here, now if we go all the way back to Matthew chapter 24, the disciples, they asked him, they came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? We know we went all the way through that. We went through that talking about the return of Christ, Matthew chapter 24. Then we went in talking about 2 Thessalonians, and we come right on in, going into Daniel some. We went right on through. But as you read on, what we didn't get into was further down, and this is what Jesus says. Now, you got to understand, you got to follow the thread here. You got to follow through of what the disciples ask him a question, and Jesus is explaining it in Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25, okay? So forgive me for my fancy little shorts and my T-shirt tonight, but I drove straight here, and I didn't stop, change, didn't do nothing. I walked in literally as Miss Sharon was saying, hello, everybody, go around and slap somebody a high five. Amen? So it is what it is, but the outward clothing does not change the gospel that lives on the inside. And if that bothers any of y'all, you need to get saved. Amen? All right. It says, but of that day, verse 36, we're going to pick up verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, nor even angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving into marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what the hour that the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Father God, I ask you today, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your Son, we thank you for the blood, we thank you for your Spirit, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've not left us as orphans, but you've definitely given us your Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. You've given us your Spirit, Lord, in order to prepare us for the return of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray that as I minister this word today, that you would allow me to minister it with authority, power, that I would speak for you. And that, Father God, you would anoint the words that are coming out of my mouth and those that are under the sound of my voice. You would ignite a fire within their hearts and within their souls. And that my voice would go through the airwaves and go through the cameras right here. And that it would go forth and accomplish exactly what you've sent it to do in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen? Amen. So as we read this, y'all grab a seat. As we read this, as we look at this, as we follow along the same lines, because this is still Jesus talking about what? Answering the question to the disciples. It says, how will we know of your return? How we know what's going to happen? And Jesus says, we'll pick back up in 36. He says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And I've always loved this saying, and I probably repeat this in almost every service that I preach when Jesus says right here, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now listen to that. I've read that and I've read that, but I've really been reading it over the past few days. Listen to that. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Now, you got to realize that Jesus is warning them. He's saying, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in my second return. Okay? As it was. Now, Jesus is just not making something up. He's going in and he's saying, here's how you're going to know. Okay? Now, to know how it was in the days of Noah, you got to know the story of Noah leading up to the flood and all of those things. But I want to read this to you again, because I want it to sink into your heart and get into your head. Now listen, it says, but of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also, so when he says as the days of Noah were, that means that right now they ain't as they were. Now, here's what you got to understand, that humanity, I believe that one of the reasons that God put an age limit on humanity biblically is because humanity does not improve with age, but they degress. They get worse with age. Amen? Sin increases. And I know that there's people around here and there's people out here on this earth and there's people that love to preach and there's people that love to tell things like this and say, you know what? God's not going to judge his people. God's already put all the judgment upon Jesus at the cross. God's not going to judge his people. God's full of love. God's full of love. God's full of love. But that is not true according to the Word of God. There is a day of judgment coming, and if you are not covered in the blood of the Lamb of God, the wrath and the judgment of God is going to be poured out upon mankind, whether you want to admit it, whether you want to believe it, whether you resist it, whether you lie about it, or whatever, that day is coming. And whether you believe it or whether you don't, it's not going to stop it. Amen? It's coming. Now, and Jesus says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood. Now, he's talking about this is what's going on in the days before the flood, okay? Before judgment was poured out upon man, okay? He says this was what was going on. He says they were eating. Nothing wrong with eating. You and I eat every day, all right? They were drinking. Nothing wrong with drink. I'm not saying that when we see the word drinking, we think people mean getting drunk, but they don't say that. They were carrying on. They may have been drinking iced tea. They may have been drinking Dr. Pepper. I don't know what they was drinking. But in other words, what he's saying is life was going on. Amen? Life was going on. Life was carrying on. People were doing the normal day-to-day things. And within these things, there's really nothing evil within these things. These are things that you do that are a necessity for you to live. Amen? He didn't say that everybody was being bad and everybody was being evil right here. He says life was just carrying on, normal life carrying on every single day. Amen? And he says, for as the days before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were given to marriage. In other words, people were going on with their plans. People were planning on getting married. People were planning on having children. People were planning on going out to dinner. People were planning on taking the kids to soccer practice, football practice, all of this stuff. Life was going on just as normal as they knew for it to go on in this day. Amen? And then it says, until the day that Noah entered the ark. Until the day. So in other words, life is going on. Life is going on. People are carrying on. People are talking. People are going to church. People are going to work. People are going just carrying on each and every day, a normal day. But all of a sudden, there was something that happened here that grabbed the people's attention. He said, until. No, he didn't say why Noah was building the ark. He said, I hope I can bring all my thoughts because I've just been preaching this to myself as I've been driving down the road, okay? You know what I mean? You ever preach to yourself, Rick? You ever just preach to yourself, Chris, as you drive? He said that people were just going on and going on and going on and going on, carrying on in their normal everyday life until when? Until Noah entered into the ark. And all of a sudden, for Jesus to say, until Noah entered in the ark, something had to happen when he walked into that ark, called everybody to go, uh-oh, something's going on here. Something's happening, okay? Because they wasn't listening to Noah the 120 years that he was building the ark. They wasn't listening to Noah. Come on now, church. They wasn't listening to Noah the 120 years that he was building the ark. They didn't get attention until he walked into the ark. All right? He said, so everybody was just carrying on. Not necessarily doing anything evil, not necessarily doing anything bad, but something happened when he walked inside that ark, okay? And it says, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So in other words, they're going through. Now, you got it. Let's go back to Genesis. Let's go all the way back to Genesis and trace this out a little bit. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6, I believe it is. Let me lay out a few things here. Let me get this laid out. I got a few scriptures marked here. That's right. That's right. Man, I'm going to preach that tonight. There's three kinds of people. There's three kinds of people. Man, I'm going to preach. Now watch, Genesis chapter 6. You're right, Chris. Now we know that Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth." Let's jump down to verse 3. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever." But let's just jump down to verse 5. "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually." So I don't believe that the Lord is making any mistake here. He's saying that God looked upon the heart of man, and he said that every intent of the heart was wicked. Every intent of the heart was evil. In other words, there was absolutely nothing going on. And here's what you got to understand, that I can't get ahead of myself. I can't. All right. Now let's jump over to verse 8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And then in verse 11, and it says, "The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." So I want y'all to understand something, that we live in a society today that when God looked down and Jesus said, "So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at my return." Okay. And then he says this, he says, but nobody really paid any attention until Noah walked into the ark. And by the time Noah walked into the ark, the flood was there. The flood was there, okay? Now y'all got it. Lord, help me to put this together, because I hadn't written any of it down. I'm preaching this just out of what I believe you've been showing me, okay? So what ends up happening, I'm going to say it again, is that Noah had been preaching the gospel. It took him roughly 120 years, and some people believe it only took Noah 40 years to build the ark. Some people believe it took 120 years. That's not what we're talking about. Either way, 40 years is a long time to build a boat, or 120 years is a long time to build a boat. I believe it took closer to 120 years. But what has happened is, while this is going on, Noah is building the ark. People are walking by, and Noah is not building this ark. He's preparing a boat. And when you understand that he's preparing a boat, why is he preparing a boat? Because he's telling the people that there's a great flood coming. But the people don't believe him. Why? Number one, because it's never rained out of the sky before. Why? Because water always bubbles up out of the ground in order to give them what they need. But Noah says that there's a day of judgment coming. There's a day coming, and you better get ready. And as he's building the ark, nobody wants to pay any attention, because you've got to remember that there's only eight people that get into the ark. There's only eight people on planet Earth that get into the ark. There's only eight people that listen to the message, and you'll always know when you believe the message that you listen to, because the work will always get involved with building what God's building if the message is getting in you. If the message is getting in you, then you're going to be building what God's building. If the message is getting in you, you're going to see. We got a lot of people that are in the church, but they ain't in the message. We got a lot of people that are in the building, but they're not building what God has told them to build, and they're carrying on with their own building project. They're carrying on with their own building project. And Noah's over there, and he's building the ark, and he's driving the nails, and he's putting the pitch wood up, and he's putting the asphalt, and he's covering it up. And he says, "Get ready, because the judgment is coming. Get ready, because judgment is coming." But people are walking by and saying, "He's been saying that a long time. There ain't nothing going to happen. There ain't no judgment going to happen." And they're carrying on with their own day-to-day life, paying absolutely no attention to the things that are going on and to the gospel message that is being preached. Just carrying on their day-to-day life. Carrying on. And so what ends up happening? Let's go. He said the world at that time, he says right here, he says the earth was corrupt. Do you ever just look at this world that we live in? I mean, look at the attacks. Just bold face, made up lies. I mean, you look at the attacks that are coming against the man that got appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court named Kavanaugh. Just making lies, just making stuff up, and there's absolutely just making lies up, and people believe it. You know why? Because their heart is only intended, it's only set on evil. Their mind is only set on evil. We look at the things, and when the mind is always set on evil, it needs no proof to believe that which is wrong. It needs zero proof. Even though the Bible says something different, that if we bring an accusation against a man, that should be another what? A witness. Amen. So when we go through, let's look at this world. Let's look at everything, the heart of everything. You look at the things that are going on in this world. People wanting to kill babies. Okay, wanting to protect the right to kill babies. I mean, the pornography, men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men, homosexuality, all of these things that are going on, pedophilia, all of these things that are going on in this war, in this earth. And do you ever just feel like at any given time that this whole thing could just erupt and just go chaotic at any time? Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel it? And this is what God is saying. He's looking down in the days of Noah, and he said everything was corrupt. And when we look at this world and so many of the things going on in the world, I don't care what people say. We got people that stand up here and say, God's going to make this place better. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. That means that you and I are on a steady downward slope. Let me change that. Not you and I, but society. Okay? Society. Jesus did not say it's going to get better. Jesus did not say it's going to improve. Jesus did not say it's going to get easy. He said you're going to be persecuted. He said you're going to be killed. You're going to be thrown in prison. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So you and I, we know in order for God to bring judgment upon the earth, it's not because everybody was worshiping him. Right? It's because society as a whole had turned their back on him, even though they went through the religious motions. So let's look at this. What does Paul say? So now we got to grab a hold of this. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Let me go to 2 Timothy real quick. Let me see here. Are y'all with me so far? I hope so. Let me find 2 Timothy. What does Paul say in 2 Timothy 3, I believe it is? He talks about, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Paul is saying in the last days, perilous, bad times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, all right? Lovers of themselves. What does that mean? Do we see that today? That they're lovers of themselves. That men today, why do we have so many political arguments? Why do we have a political war going on? Because men love their ideas and their ways, and they want to promote their ideas and their ways and what's best for them rather than what's best for others. Amen? And he goes on and says, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. I used to always tell people, until you love God more than you love your sin, you'll never come out of it. All right, now, let's go on here. It says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And he says, and from such people turn away. So in other words, all of this is going on. He's saying that there's going to be a group of people out there. There's going to be a people out there that have got a form of godliness. In other words, they know the lingo. They go through all they go through all the motions. They go through the church. They do all of these things. But it's nothing more than a bunch of death wrapped up in a religious package. They've not actually been born again. They're addicted to doing good things. Amen. So now as we go on, let's look at this. Let's go back to Genesis. Or let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 24. Now, here's where we want to go. He says, let me see here. 24. Let me find Genesis 11. Put my finger on Genesis 11. All right. Now, we go back. And now, what is happening here is Jesus said, he says, but as the days of Noah were, so also be the coming of the Son of Man. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the day Noah entered the flood and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, you and I got to understand something. Let's look here. Let's look at Genesis chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your house. So Noah's been working on this ark. He's been building this ark. He's been preparing it. And here's what you and I got to understand. That he's building this ark. He's not building it down there close to the ocean. He's not building it down there. He's building it on dry land. All right? And you got to understand that there's people coming by and that there's people that are seeing him. He didn't have it being, it wasn't done in secret. And people are coming by and they're seeing him and they're looking at him and they're watching him build this ark. And I believe that in this that you're going to have three kinds of people that are there. There's going to be three kinds of people. Number one, you're going to have the people that are going to be all in. Those are going to be the people that are doing the work. And that wasn't very many. That was Noah's family. They were the ones that were all in, and they were the ones that were doing the work. They were getting the wood. They were hammering the nails. They were smearing the stuff. They were all in. They were sold out. Why? Because God had told Noah to build something, and only very few people were actually about the business that God told Noah to do. A lot of people were about their other stuff. A lot of people were about, but there was only very, very few people that were interested in building the kingdom and preserving the kingdom. So what did you have? You had Noah and his family, and they were all in. They were putting the hammers in. They were putting the wood. They were cutting the wood. They were doing it. They were doing the work. See, a lot of us, we got words, but we have no works to go with our words. A lot of us talk about wanting to build the kingdom, but we're not actually putting any nails in it that hold it together. We're not going out and doing anything. But there was a few people that actually, they were sold, they were put in. And why? Because it was the character of Noah that sold them out. Why? Because Noah heard the voice of God. And when Noah, because of the lifestyle that he lived, why? Because the Bible says that he's a preacher of righteousness, that he was a preacher of righteousness, the preacher of the right way. Therefore, since he lived a righteous life, when he said, I heard God speak and it's time to build a boat, his family jumped in with him. Why? Because they said, I know his character, I know his ways, and I know what it stands for. And he said that God spoke to him, then we're going to move. Why? Because God spoke. And they started building the work. They started building the boat. Now, here's what you got to understand. More people were not involved than were involved. More people were not involved. And I bet you the crowds that gather around were bigger than the people that were doing the work on the boat. Amen? So that is why you and I, we must be intentional about doing God's work. We must be intentional about doing God's work. I mean, yes, we're intentional about going to church. Yes, we're intentional about doing so many things. But we must be intentional about what? Building God's kingdom. We must be. We must. We can't hide just behind prayer, because Noah could have prayed about it all day long, but no nail was going to go through the wood until Noah done something. Amen? We must be intentional about doing the work of God. And because God told Noah to do this, there was nothing else that got in his way. Him and his family, they jumped in. And there's going to be people in church. There's going to be people that are in the body of Christ. There's going to be those that are builders, those that are doing the work of God. And then there's going to be people that just walk by and really don't ever get involved with anything. Amen? And then you had the second group of people, I believe. And this group of people were people that would come by, and they would look, and they would talk, and they believed it. They believed. In other words, they'd look at Noah and they'd say, yeah, you know what? Yeah, no, I know him. He's a good guy. Yeah, he's a good guy. But you know what? They couldn't get involved with the work because of the ridicule they may have put up with everybody else. So they couldn't really get involved. Why could they not get involved? In other words, they believed that there was a God. They believed that there was work need to be done. They believed that there was some things that needed to go on. And they were sitting there and they'd come by and they'd look at the work that was going on. But they never really could get involved. They never could really commit to it. Why? Because they were still too worried about what other people thought. They were still getting too caught up in gossiping. This is what that person said and this is what that person said. So they never could really commit to anything. Yes, they believed it. Yes, they believed in doing some good deeds, but they never could really commit to doing anything themselves, because the fact of the matter was, is they wasn't willing to pick up the tools and go to work. And then you got the third kind of people. And what are the third kind of people? Those are the ones that are sit there and say, well, you know what? When it actually starts raining, that's when I'll get in a boat. When it starts raining, that's when I'll get in a boat. And so Noah, what is he doing? And guess what? The ones that believed but didn't get involved in the work got set aside with the ones that said, I'll get in a boat when it starts raining. That's called lukewarm. So what ends up happening is then you got the third kind of people. And what are the third kind of people? The third kind of people are these people right here. They sit there and they say, well, you know what? I'm enjoying life right now. I'm having a good time. All right. And you know what? When this world starts getting really bad, that's when I'll get right. in this world. That's what Brother Chris was saying a while ago. The people don't want nothing to do with God. You know, they believe they're good people. They don't believe that good is good. You know, really don't believe. And here's where we're at today. Well, I'll get into this in a second. Here's where we're at today in society, and we're getting there. Because as I see the things that we would have never seen 20 and 30 years ago become acceptable, that wouldn't have been acceptable then, become acceptable today. Amen. And we're reverting back to the original sin. And what was the original sin? The original sin was what Adam and Eve done in the garden. And what was the original sin? The original sin was this. That they wanted to be able to make the decision of what was good and what was evil. That was the original sin. Because God said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest you die. And the devil convinced them, surely. Right? So that's what ends up happening. So we are in a place in society today, compared to where I've never seen it before. I'm 46 years old. But where we're at today is we want the right. We're no different than Adam and Eve in the garden. We want the right to be able to make the decision of what is good and evil and what is not. We want to make that right. And what is it, even though the Bible says, what does the Word of God tell us? The Word of God tells us very, very clear that what? That marriage is what? A male and a female. Amen? And we want to redefine that. We don't want to accept what God says. We don't want to accept that God said, don't eat from the tree. We don't want to, that's not good enough. I want the right to make my own decisions on what I say is right and wrong. All right? God says that homosexuality is an abomination. I want the right to decide what is right and what is wrong. Amen? God says without God's judgment, there is no love. I want the right to be able to make the decisions. And we're no different today than they were in the days of Adam and Eve. That we want the right to be able to make the decision of what is right and wrong. And when you look at it, when you look at our society as a whole, you can see what happens when God lifts his hands off certain people and gives them the ability to make their own decisions. When God lifts his hands off of certain people, when God lifts his hand off of people and gives them the ability to start making their own decisions, once that happens, you'll see that the decisions that they make, there's no depth of darkness that they'll plunge into. Amen? Now, let's look here. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. All right? Now, let's look at this. Matthew 24. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the day Noah. Now, the Bible in 2 Peter 2 calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. So now as we stand up there, as Noah's standing up there, and as he's building this ark, okay, as he's going through and working on this ark, you and I have got to remember that he's also ministering the gospel at the same time. Amen? That he's also, the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. See, because Noah believed, he started preparing something. See, because Noah believed, he started preparing something. Godly fear put his faith in action. Amen. So since Noah believed, he didn't just sit back and see here. Listen to me, y'all. This is what you and I got to understand, that when the preaching of the gospel is going forth, either it moves a person or it does not move them. Either it moves a person. See, when the preaching of the gospel goes forth, and if we're in here preaching, either the gospel is going to move somebody to put that into action in their life or it's not. Amen. Now, why would the gospel, let me look here. Like I said, I wrote down some scriptures today as I was going. So if I got to go backwards and forth here and look a little bit, just bear with me. I want to read something to you. Today, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, it says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So now, listen to this. You have got Noah, who was building an ark. Why? Because he was moved with godly fear, because this is what God told him to do. All right? Because God told him to do it, because he's a man that feared God, because he's a man that loved God, because he's a man that obeyed God. He was moved with action to do what God said. Now we look in Hebrews chapter 3, and it says, do not harden your heart. If you hear the voice of the Lord, do not harden your heart as they did in the rebellion. All right? So many, many times, church, here's what you got to listen. If you sat under my preaching, if you've listened to my preaching before, if you've heard my preaching, and if it's stepping on your toes, and if it's busting your heart, and if it's causing you to repent, and if it's causing you to cry out to God, and if it's causing you to say, I need to turn, I need to stop, I need to wake up, I need to do this, you need to thank God for that, because that is the Spirit of God that is still talking to you. But many, many people, they reject it and turn away from it because it's not the feeling that they want.
It's not the feeling that they want. And there's some people that come into church, and no matter what they're living in, no matter what you preach on them, no matter what you preach about, you can preach against adultery, they're living in adultery. You can preach against homosexuality, they're living in homosexuality. Fornication, they're living in fornication. Drunkenness, they're living in drunkenness. Whatever it is, gossip, lying, unforgiveness, whatever it is. And when you preach about that stuff, it has absolutely no effect on them. It runs off their back like water off a duck's back. Why? Because they're not hearing. Their heart has become so hard, and they're sitting there in their reprobate mind thinking you're being judgmental. Why? Because you're talking about the things that the Bible says are wrong, and they want the right to exalt their thoughts above God's thoughts, and they want the right to be able to say what's right, what's wrong, what's good, and what's evil. They want to say it. And when your preaching doesn't line up with their wants, then you're judged for it. Not me judging them, but them judging me. Are y'all with me? Am I putting this together? Am I kind of scattering around? Because this is just what I meditated on the past couple days. All right, so let's see here. Now, let's go back. Monica got up, so something had to happen. All right, let's go back. Let's go back to Genesis over here. Let's go back to Genesis over here. Genesis, like I said, I may have to preach this twice. All right, let's go to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis 7. So you got to see that Noah has been building this ark. And the Bible talks about nobody else getting involved with him. Nobody else helping out. And there's people that walk by, they heard the message. People walk by, they said, listen, he said, there's a flood coming. You better get ready. You better get ready. And see, here's the third group of people that I got off on the rabbit trail a while ago. If there's a flood coming, then when it starts raining, I'll get in a boat. And when God shuts the door, ain't no man that can open it. Let's look here. Let's look at 7. Let's start out in verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. Now, when I was reading this, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in other words, check out what God's doing here. He's going back, and he's telling exactly when it came. He's saying, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month. I read that. I thought, I ain't ever noticed that. But he's looking back now. All right, now watch this. He says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven was open, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now listen to this. This is the third group of people, which is really the second and third group of people. God is saying, on the 600th year, the second month, the 17th day, you got to realize Noah's been building this ark, driving nails, preaching the gospel, repent, turn from your wickedness, turn from your sin, stop. Judgment is coming. There's a flood coming one day, and God's going to open up the heavens, and there's going to be things to happen like you've never, ever seen happen before. You better listen to what I'm telling you. They just walk by. 1 year goes by. 2 years go by. 5 years go by. 50 years go by, and Noah's preaching the same thing. And people are probably walking by, and they're saying, no, I've been hearing you preach that for 50 years. No, I've been, why don't you get shut up every time you come around? Every time, that's why I don't come around you no more. You know why I don't come around you no more? Because every time I walk by this boat, you telling me that I need to quit, that I'm no good, thinking you better than I am, thinking you better than this, thinking, yeah, you know what, that's why I don't get involved with you. That's why I don't get involved with your church. You know why? Because y'all all think you're better than somebody over there just because you don't think that somebody should be sleeping with somebody. That's why I don't get involved with your church, because you stand up there and they all kept on walking by. Didn't want to hear it, which they really didn't realize is what Noah was trying to do is under the power of God is offer them the living water. Offer them the living water. And they kept on walking by, and they kept on walking by, thinking, you know what? When it starts raining, I'll get in a boat. That's the thought of our society today. Because when we read the Bible, And we talk about the times getting so bad, the times getting so bad. People are sitting there saying, you know what, when the times really start getting that bad, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to vote for a different political leader that can fix it. When the economy gets bad, they don't turn to God. They start looking at political leaders that can fix the economy. When the world gets bad, people don't turn to God. They start looking for people and blaming it on politicians and all that, trying to put somebody else in office that'll fix it. Amen. Why? Because their heart is so hard that they can't hear the things of God. So as it sits there and it goes on, people are saying, you know what, when times get bad in America, then here's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start getting ready. When times get bad, just like Brother Chris seen it a while ago, we seen it happen on 9-11, that whenever people were coming, whenever the Twin Towers got hit in 9-11, the churches was flooded, but people not changed. You didn't hear that. The churches was flooded, but people were not changed. Now, I'm not saying not everybody, a lot of them, but the multitudes, the majority of them, went right back to the same old mess. So, in other words, it'd be like this, that if you and I, if we sat here and said there's going to be wars and all that, and let's say that it come on TV and Trump was on TV, and he said, hey, North Korea, South Korea, whatever, Russia, China, whoever it is, has just launched a nuclear missile, and all of our attempts through Star Wars to blow it out of the sky have failed, and it'll be here in 1 hour. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to have two groups of people. You're going to have one group of people that have truly been building God's kingdom, that have truly been building God's art, that have truly been building God's hands-on involved people. They're the ones going to be in the church house. They're going to be praising God. They're going to be lifting up their hands. They're going to say, we're fixing to meet our Maker. We're fixing to meet Jesus Christ. We're fixing to meet Him. And then you're going to be flooded with other people looking for a quick fix. You're going to be flooded with people running into the church, running in, trying to slide, hoping that man's got something to offer them. Hoping that man's got something to offer him. And here is the deal. It's going to be a desire to escape what's coming, but not a desire to serve God. It's going to be a desire to escape what's coming, but not a desire. So they think that they can fool the heart of God and come running into a building. It's biblical. Why? Because, look, let's jump down to Genesis chapter 7, verse 15. Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's go up to verse 13. It says, Noah's son, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with him entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps of the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird, every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah two by two of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God has commanded him, and then the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. Now, and as it goes on, now the flood was on the earth 40 days. So what ended up happening? It was the Lord. The Lord sits there. The door is open. The door is open. And Noah, people are walking by saying, come on in, help me build this. Help me build this kingdom. The Bible tells us very, very clearly, store not up treasure that rust and moth may destroy, but store up your treasure in heaven where rust and moth cannot destroy it. And Noah's out there preaching, repent from your sin. How is it that we build God's kingdom? By turning from sin and turning to Christ. And Noah's preaching it, and the door is wide open for 120 years. And he's inviting people, come on in here and help me with this work. Come on in here and help me build God's kingdom. Come on in here and help me build, get involved. Come on. But people are walking by, people don't want no part of it. Come on in, help me build God's kingdom. Come on in, share the gospel. Come on in, let's go share the gospel. Let's go minister. Let's go. People don't want no part of it. People are going by, they're grumbling, they're griping about the shape of the boat. They don't like the shape of the boat. They don't like the color of the outside. They don't like the carpet that he put in the boat. They don't like the way that Noah drives a nail. They would help him build, but he don't like Noah's son. Why? Because when Noah's son was a little kid, he picked on their kid. All of these reasons, all of these excuses to come up with not getting involved with the work. So they just keep on going on with their day-to-day life. No, I'd like to, but I got a dinner tonight. No, I'd like to, but I got to be at the kids' games tonight. No, I'd like to, but it's just not convenient. I got something else going on. Come on, folks. Usually the only time that when we really, really serve God is when it's convenient for us. Is when it's convenient. When nothing else is happening, then I'll serve. And they're saying, no. So all of a sudden, what happens? Noah and his family, they walk in the ark, and God shuts the door. Then all of a sudden the rain starts coming. And people are beating on that door. Why? Because they just got the phone call, missiles are coming. You got 1 hour. I want to read something to you. Where's it at? Revelation 3:7 says, "He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." So what is going on here? For 100, however long they was building the ark, 120 years, Noah's preaching the gospel. Noah's saying, repent. Judgment is coming. Nobody had listened. They'd talk about, oh, that old preacher, all he talks about is judgment. He's mean. Where's the love? Where's this? Where's that? The love was in the boat. The love was saying, if you'll turn from your sin, you can get in a boat too. You'll get in a boat too. And they kept on rejecting and kept on rejecting and kept on rejecting. And so all of a sudden that raindrop fell out of the sky. Yeah. Noah and his family walked in and that door shut. That door shut. In other words, they were probably saying, you know what? I'll get right when I see the first raindrop. He's talking about all this rain. I'll get right when I see the first raindrop. I'll get right when I first see the first raindrop. When the world gets bad, when I see people start getting their heads cut off, I'll get right. When I see bomb, when I see war on U.S. ground, I'll get right. But when God shuts the opportunity for you to be saved, you cannot be saved on your own desire. When the Spirit of God stops drawing you, you can't come to God. That's why Paul said today is the day of salvation. So he shut the door. God himself. And no matter how hard Noah wanted to open that door, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Why? Because God shut it. And the Bible says in Revelation 3:7, what God shuts, no man opens. And what God opens, no man shuts. So there's going to be people that are going to be crying out. There's going to be people that are trying to play this game. Time it just right. To time it just right. Let's look at, let me look here. That was Revelation 3:7. Flip back over to Matthew 24 with me. You can tell. It's all my, because I don't have even my verses lined out right. Let's jump down to chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamp and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. In other words, listen, those who were foolish took their lamps. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. In other words, they spent no time in the presence of God. Spent no time soaking in the presence of God. Spent no time. They looked like everybody else, but they were empty on the inside. They knew all the right things to say. They could talk the lingo. They could do it, but they'd have spent no time soaking in the presence of God. They was empty. Amen? And it says, But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. In other words, they spent time with God, and wherever they went, Christ went with them. Okay, now let's look here. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." In other words, they said, "Hey, listen, do you see right here what I was just talking about? Somebody tell me what you see right here. You got 5 virgins. You got 5 foolish and 5 wise. The 5 foolish had the oil, had the lamps, but no oil in them. No presence in them. The other 5 were full of oil. So they went off to take care of a little bit of business. Then all of a sudden, the bridegroom delayed his coming, but then all of a sudden, he showed up. And what was the five foolish ones doing? They were going to man to give to them only what Christ can give to them. They were saying, please give to us some oil for our lamps, for the bridegroom is here. In other words, running into the church when they see a sign of danger, running into the church looking for man to give them something. And when you don't have the presence of God in your life, you're going to go to man to give you, which only God can give you. That's what I'm talking about. On the same way that God shut the door on the ark, people were trying to get in and they couldn't. Revelation 3:7 says, God opens and no man can shut, and God shuts and no man can open. And right here, the bridegroom showed up. They didn't think he was really going to show up, and they wasn't living in his presence. Therefore, they wasn't ready when he showed up. So what did they do? They ran down to the church house hoping man could give them a solution, because they didn't have the solution.
We'll read it again. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Wait a minute, that Jesus that you got, can you give him to me? I can't give him to you. I can't give you the Spirit of God. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Church, am I making sense tonight? I'm probably going to preach this again on Sunday. Yeah. Now listen. And he says, but the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us, you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. It says those that were ready, those that had oil in their lamps, those that were prepared, those that have already been in the presence of God and spending time with God, that when the bridegroom came, they could look at it and say, praise God, he's coming. But those that did not have it, all of a sudden realized what they needed, and they couldn't buy it, they couldn't earn it, they couldn't steal it. There was no way that they could get it. And there's going to be many, many people that are standing back, and they're thinking, well, when it gets real bad, I'll give my life to Christ. Door's going to be shut. The door's going to be shut. The door's going to be shut on many. I can't say on all, but it's going to be shut on many, many, many. And what does Jesus say right here? He's in verse 11, it says, afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So you got these virgins. Five are got the presence of God, and five others just got an appearance. But when the bridegroom came, who truly was and truly wasn't was separated. And those that didn't have it, those that did have it, they were sitting in the house, the church. They said, the bridegroom's coming. The missile's been fired. The tsunami's coming. Whatever it is. And those that are in Christ, that have been in the presence of Christ, there's going to be a peace to overcome them, and a strength, and a knowing like they've never known before. But those that hadn't been, they're going to be running. The church house is going to be full. They're going to be saying, wait a minute, how do I get what you got? How do I get this oil? How do I get what you got? And somebody's going to look at them, and probably people that ain't got no oil themselves, and going to say, repeat this prayer after me real quick. Hurry up and say it. And then they're going to repeat this little prayer, and they're going to say this little prayer. And there may be some that actually get saved. But on these virgins right here, what happened? The door was shut.
And they're standing outside the door beating, saying, "Lord, Lord, let us in." He says, "No, I don't know you. I don't know you." He shut the door on the ark. In Revelations, he says that he shuts, no man opens. He opens, and no man shuts. See, every time you and I hear the gospel, every time one of our friends, that's why it's so important for us to share the gospel with people. Because every time we share the gospel, one of two things is happening. The more they reject it, the harder their heart gets. Or the more that that gospel chips away at that hard heart. One of the two. And we are, I believe, in those times right now. I believe that we have got a body. And when I say a body, I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about churchgoers across America. I believe that the church has become a place that has become a place that fuels, that throws fuel on people's pleasures. I believe the church has become a place to where we got to come up with more programs and more this and more that in order to keep people entertained. Why? Because they become lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. God's not enough for them. God's not enough for them. They got to have this. They got to have that. And many times the board of directors or the people, the pastors and all that, become the people that are just dealing to them what they want, passing them another card. So they'll keep coming back. One but eight people got on the boat. One but five out of ten virgins that made it in the house. We live in a world today that is no different than it was in the days of Noah. People saying, "I've been hearing for 2,000 years. Grandma, you've been telling me ever since I was a kid, Jesus is coming back. Mom, you've been telling me ever since I was a kid, Jesus is coming back. Ain't nothing happened." And what people don't realize is the reason nothing happened is because God is long-suffering. It's his will that none should perish, but all come to repentance. And every time that you minister the gospel to them, every time that you tell them, every time that you let them see Christ in your life. And when I say letting them see Christ in your life, I'm not talking about just loving them in the midst of their sin and saying nothing about it and trying to win them over by your lack of compassion or your lack of standing for righteousness. But what we don't realize is every time we minister the gospel to them, we're driving another nail in the ark. We're building God's kingdom. And here's the deal. A lot more people were not working on the boat than were working on the boat, but they couldn't stop the boat from being built. That's why the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I'm going to tell you something. You know, I love that song, "Bury the Workmen." Bury the Workmen. It took Stephen out, stoned him to death, trying to get him to shut up, quit talking about the name of Jesus. Killed him, but it didn't stop the gospel. The gospel's still going forth. They took James and cut his head off at the edge of a sword. Why? Because he was preaching the gospel. And they thought, if I cut his head off, we don't have to hear about this Jesus no more. But guess what? It didn't stop the gospel. We're still hearing the gospel today. That's what it means that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You might be able to stop the person, but you can't stop the message. Amen. You might be able to stop the person, but you can't stop the message. You can kill the person, but you can't kill the message. They thought, you know, they thought in the days of Jesus, they said, "Kill this. He thinks he's a king, kill him." 3 days later, he rose. The message is still going forth. They thought they could stop Paul. What'd they do? Chopped his head off. What ended up happening? Paul, the message is still going forth. The message is still going forth. That's what it means that the gates of hell shall. Doesn't mean that you ain't ever going to be attacked. Doesn't mean that people ain't going to die for their faith. It means that you can't stop the message. There ain't no devil in hell that can stop the message. There ain't no law they can put on the books in Washington, D.C. that can stop the message. There ain't no change they can make to the U.S. Constitution that can stop the message. There ain't no political party out there that's big enough or got enough money to stop the message. Why? Because the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. They couldn't stop the message in Noah's day. He kept on building the boat. He kept on building the boat. He kept on building the boat. He cannot stop the message. So when we look at this, and we look at that time, that we must minister the gospel to people with the understanding of this, that not everybody's going to have an opportunity at that last moment to slide in. Not everybody's going to have that opportunity on their deathbed to receive salvation. Not everybody's going to have that opportunity in a split second before they have a head-on collision in a car accident to receive salvation. Not everybody's going to have that opportunity. And we sit there and we think that we are. Somewhere we think that we are. Somewhere we think that that God's going to give me some kind of flashing notification sign to tell me before my time is up so I can ask Him to move into my heart. According to the Word of God, that doesn't happen. If you've ever heard the gospel, you've been given the opportunity. If your friends have never heard ever heard the gospel, they've been given the opportunity. God forbid that one person in here tonight or one person watching over the internet, Facebook, would hear this message and not move and go to hell. You and I can't guarantee you, you can't guarantee yourself that you're going to make it out of this building alive tonight. Tomorrow's not promised. The Bible says that our life is a vapor, here and gone. And for us to sit back and think that when it gets bad, that my loved ones, when they see in times get bad enough, that then they'll come into the kingdom of heaven, that's foolishness. That's no different than the five foolish virgins. Because this is what happens. God, this time, and we see it happen on a regular basis, this time that we're in right now, if a person's got the opportunity to hear the gospel, a person's got the opportunity, the door's open. But there is a day coming, and I don't know when that is in a person's life, that they've heard the gospel, they've rejected God, rejected God, rejected God, rejected God, and He shuts the door on their opportunity. He shuts the door. And then no matter how much, when they beat, slap, it's kind of like when they say in the book of Hebrews, it says that who was it that could find no place to repent? Cain. He could find no place to repent. So we're going to see those coming in the days ahead. Might be in our lifetime, might not. But it will be one day that you and I, we're going to see churches fill up. We're going to see people running looking for answers. And we want to have those answers. But they're going to be looking for you to give them something. They're going to be looking for man to give them something. And some of them are going to receive. But I believe a majority of them are not. And I know that sounds bad, but I'm going to go along with what the Bible says. Because the majority didn't receive on the day when Noah, when the doors were shut. And He said, as it was in the days of Noah. So you and I have got a job to do. This is why we go into as many prisons as we do. This is why we go and do as many things as we can do. You know, I say this, you may say, well, prison's not my deal. Then what is your deal? Because most people that say that prison's not their deal really ain't doing a whole lot anyway. And that's that avenue. I mean, it's people, whether it's prison, whether it's not prison, whether it's biker ministry, whether it's work ministry. People are people. You don't get the right to pick and choose where you get to minister. You go where Jesus tells you to go. You follow the door that He opens. He opens and no man shuts. And if we would understand that, it would make it a lot easier for us to go and minister the gospel instead of sitting back talking about saying, oh, that's not my anointment. That's not what I'm called to do. I don't, but then what is you? What is it? Amen. You know how much more we could do if more people got involved? If more people helped. You know how much quicker the let me just ask you. I can't prove this, but let's just think about this. I'm not saying this is biblical, but do you think if the ark would have been built sooner, that the flood would have came sooner? I know it's all in God's timing. I know that, but I'm just thinking out of my head right now. Okay, just kind of ride with me for a second. See all y'all looking at the ceiling like, hmm. So do you now, Chris? You're a construction guy. Do you think if there had been more people helping build the ark, it got built quicker? What was that? If there would have been more people helping Noah build the ark, would it have got built quicker? Can somebody translate that into what we're saying? If we got more people going and ministering and preaching and supporting and doing, his kingdom gets built quicker. That makes sense. Amen. So, that's what I've just been meditating on the past 2 days, driving around, moving cars around. Is number one, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be. How was it in the days of Noah? Everybody had went evil. You look at our world today, Christians, look at me. I don't know if we're the minority by true numbers, but I know vocally we are the minority because the radio is run by the world. The TV is run by the world. Politics is run by the world. And a true biblical point of view is considered to be outdated, behind, mean, whatever you want to call it. So Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. So as it was in the days of Noah, it got to the point to where God said that the thought of all men was continually evil. So does that mean that's where we're headed? Come on, church, let's get real. And I know that we like to sit there and say, God ain't going to let this world go down. God ain't, he says, as it was in the days. And if we look at the days of Noah, the thought of all men, just a very few, were what? There was no... Let me just write this conclusion. There was no desire for the work of God. No desire for the work of God. No desire to build the things of God, church. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? No desire by people to build the things of God. Very few. So the people watched him build. And God said one day, get on the boat. And I can see these people watching these animals go by, watching these two by two go by. And right. Even them dumb old animals are smart enough to listen. Even dumb animals were smart enough to listen to God when he said, get on the boat. God himself shuts the door. Revelation 3:7 said, God shuts and no man opens. God opens and no man shuts. And guess what? All the screaming they could do on the outside, saying, forgive us, we was wrong, I'm sorry, I believe now, didn't open the door. Didn't open the door. Bible says they were all washed away. Every man on the face of the earth washed away. The 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. What were the wise ones? They kept their lamps full. They stayed filled up with the presence of God. They stayed. What does it mean, staying filled? Being obedient, serving God, praying, seeking, meditating. And all of a sudden they said, the bridegroom's on the way. A missile's been launched. See that? The bridegroom's on the way. And what do? The bridegroom's really on the way. They run out and they try to get some lamp because why?
Theirs is empty.
And see, that's what Chris was talking about on 9/11 a while ago. There has been an attack. Churches were full because why? They were empty. When the missiles come and famine hits or whatever it is, which is going to happen, and people are going to fill up the churches, and they're going to be looking, and yes, we want to have the answers. Yes, we want to minister. Yes, we want to pray. Yes, we want to teach. Because I'm going to tell you something, it's going to be churches like this that minister the truth of the gospel that people are going to be coming to in days when they're really, really in need. Because no matter how much prosperity you preach, that ain't going to help nobody when people are using dollar bills to keep them warm. In the five foolish verses, they said, what? The bridegroom's on the way. What? The missile has been launched, and people are going to run and try to look for something and trying to buy the oil. I need the oil. I need the oil. I need the oil. I need what you got. I need what you got. Will you pray for what we do? Things of God cannot be purchased. And then the door on that house got shut. And then they come running back. They're knocking on the door. And Jesus is inside there. They're saying, let us in. Let us in. He says, no. See, we as a society have got this false sense of security that everybody can just slide in at the last moment. I don't see that. I'm not saying it doesn't happen because we've seen it happen with the man on the cross. But it doesn't happen for many, matter of fact, the majority. And we got this false sense of security that says, well, just as long as you ask Jesus into your heart, and then we like to say, well, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, not understanding it's a heart issue. Right? We got this idea that everybody's just going to be able to slide in when we see the five foolish virgins beating on the door, talking to Jesus. Jesus can hear their voice, and they're saying, let us in, let us in. He says, no, I don't know you. That's all I got tonight. Does that make anybody think? I hope, number one, that causes us to examine our own life. I want to be one of those ones when things get going, when this whole world really goes south, that I can be rejoicing looking for the return of Christ. I don't want to get ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. In church, there's many people that somewhere in the back of their minds, somewhere in their thinking, whether you want to admit it or whether you don't, but somewhere in these in lukewarm believers, there is a thought within their mind thinking that they're going to be given an opportunity to get ready when the times get real bad. And if God has shut the door on your opportunity, that's why it's so important that in hearing the word of God, that if it goes out there, and it convicts and it breaks and it hurts at times. Thank God for that. Because a person that can sit there and no matter what is said, there's absolutely no conviction, there's absolutely nothing going on, and it just rolls off their back. Oh, reprobate mind, man, I've seen so many people. And you know, I believe we've seen that happen in this church. Let me tell you what we've seen happen in this church. I'm sure in the days of Noah, that while he was building that ark, people probably just stopped by to see what was going on. What's going on? What's he doing with all that wood? What's he doing with all that pitch? What's he doing with all that gopher wood? What's he building over there? What's going on over there? And then they walk up there and they say, hey, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. Boat. What are you building a boat for? Because the judgment of God's about to come. He's fit to flood this whole world. And he told me to make a boat so that people that believe I have a place to get on and they'll be saved from the judgment of God. And I just come by to see what you're doing. Didn't really want to get into all that.
I believe that's been this church. You see a lot of cars. You see a lot of things happening. You hear a lot of things happening. People want to stop and see what's going on, Rick. People want to stop and see what's going on. But when they come in here and see what's going on, they say, you know what? That old pastor in there, he's talking about repentance. He's talking about you going to hell. He's talking about turn from your sin. He's talking about get away from this. He's talking about get away from that. I don't want no part of that because that's not God's love. I don't want no part of that building project. I keep on walking. May look up one day and it may be only eight of us. But I'm going to be in the cross. I'm going to be in the boat. I'm going to be covered. I'm going to be washed in the blood. I'm going to be cleansed. And I do not want to be one of the ones that's beating on the door saying, Jesus, let me in. Because something sounded better. Because I wanted to believe a message that gave me false sense of security in the midst of sin. Sure, many of them walk by and say, what in the world you got going on there, Noah? They probably asked him many times, Chris, until they heard what he was doing. You building a what? For what? You building a boat. Yeah. Because the flood's coming. Yeah. You know it's never rained out of the sky before. Yeah. But it's coming. So what are we supposed to do? Repent. Believe the gospel. What do you mean, repent? We ain't doing nothing. We're nice folk. Yeah, I know you are. I don't drink. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't drink. Okay, I don't smoke. I ain't living in fornication. We're just carrying on. We're just eating and drinking and marrying, just carrying on like what Jesus said. But you're not about God's business. You're about your own business. You're not about God's business. You're not wanting to get involved because your business, your plans, everything, that trumps God's business, God's plan. It trumps, and your true God is your lover of pleasure. That's what was happening back then. And that's the mindset we go to church with. I want something in church that's going to give me pleasure. Something's going to encourage me. Something's going to make me feel good. Something. Why? Because I've become a lover of feelings and pleasures. And then they go over and they say, hey, you know what? That guy back here building that big old boat, you don't want to go talk to him. He's judgmental. He tells us repent. He says if you're homosexual, you're going to hell. He says if you're living in adultery or fornication, you're going to hell. I don't want to talk to him. Even if I did want to help out, I wouldn't help him anyway because he's over building that boat. I wouldn't help him anyway. Why not? I wouldn't help him because I don't like the way he talks. But Noah kept on building. And guess what? Nobody was coming. Board, please. The cross. Nail, please. Held Jesus to the cross. The ark was finished. And the only way to be safe was in it. Judgment of God is coming. And the only place to be safe is in the cross of Calvary. And you know what? You ain't going to be able to slide in there. Not everybody. I'd hate to be the one to take that chance. Wouldn't you hate to be the one laying on your deathbed saying, "Woo, I said that prayer." And then only to leave this world to step into hell? Oof. What about your loved ones? There may not be anybody in here, but what about your loved ones? How many, I just wonder, I know I'm kind of just rattling on, but I just wonder how many of them back in those days, Rick, Chris, Clover, Sharon, Bethany. How many of them in those days were thinking, when it starts raining, I'll get on the boat? If this man, if what he says really happens, then I'll get on the boat. And could you imagine when it started raining, they take off running to the boat to find that door's been open for 120 years. What's happened? Now it's shut. And now the reality sets in. As the water rises a foot, then 18 inches to their knees, then to their hips, then to their waist, then their shoulders, and they're swimming for their life as the currents pull them under and pull them under and pull them under. The virgins, knowing that they didn't have the presence of God, knowing that they wasn't spending any time with God, knowing that they wasn't seeking God, that they were seeking the things of the world, even though they were involved with the church, even though they were involved with Christian people.
And then when Jesus came on his way, it exposed what really was not. People are going to be coming one day to a church. They're going to be looking for man to give them only what Jesus can give them. They're going to be looking to slide in. They're going to be looking. They're going to be, and you know what? The door's already been shut. They ain't going to be able to get in. That's why it's so important we believe today. I know you may sit there and say, well, I don't believe that. Well, don't matter if you believe it or not. Don't change what the Bible says. And many of us, let me tell you something. Here's the sad thing. That is the attitude many Christians have. Many people that got the oil, that's the. I believe that's the whole attitude behind the rapture of the church. I believe that's the whole attitude behind, well, I'm going to be taken out of here anyway. And that's the whole attitude of many, many people saying, well, when the rapture happens, when I see a bunch of people disappear, then I'll go knock on the door. Does that make sense? People say, well, if that really, really happens, if the church really gets taken out of here, then I'll go knock on the door. No. It's going to be too late. Because when Jesus comes back, he ain't sneaking in the first time to get his people. When he comes back, it's going to be too late. No. Mm-mm. And if I do read it, many times we exchange what the Word of God says for our own comfort. I'm finished. Let's stand up. I hope I explained that today. I may preach that again on Sunday and really, really put it together. And I just been riding in my truck, just meditating on that, thinking on that. And as I'm thinking on it, this pops into my brain, and that pops into my brain. And I didn't think I'd be here tonight, so I was really going to preach it on Sunday. But I'm glad I was, and I might preach it again on Sunday. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. Father God, your word says that in the last days that the people, that the love of many will wax cold for you. That, Lord, times will be so bad on this earth that many people will turn their back on you. They'll be saying, how could you allow this to happen? When the whole time in your word you forewarned us and told us to be prepared, because it's only by your strength that we're going to be able to make it through the times that this world is going to face one day. So, Lord God, I'm asking you that you would prepare the hearts and the minds of the people within this body. I'm praying, Father God, that you would, that our hearts would be, that you would perform a spiritual autopsy on our heart. That, Lord God, that you would reveal ourselves to us. That, Lord, that you would be truthful, or we would be truthful in our inner part, Lord, in our inner man. And that, Lord, I ask over the people over this body, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you prepare this body, this group of believers, no matter how small, no matter how big. Lord, I'm asking that those that are under my leading, that, Lord, that you give me the ability to speak your words to prepare their hearts and their minds, Lord. That, Lord, do we not walk through this life deceived? That, Lord, that our love for you never wax cold. That, Lord, that you teach us, Lord, and you show us, Lord, through your word. That, Lord God, that no matter what this world throws at us, that by your spirit you give us the ability to endure. And that, Lord, that you give your children a sense of peace and knowing that no matter what happens in this world, that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. That we may not know many, many things. We may not know the exact day. We may not know the exact hour.
But we know that your return is going to be sudden. The Lord, just like in the days of Noah, man, 600th year, second month, 17th day, it started raining. Suddenly, boom, out of nowhere. Jesus says, as the lightning flashes from the east unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. The bridegroom just showed up out of nowhere, and five of the virgins wasn't ready. They tried to get ready after he showed up. Lord, help us live a life of preparedness, looking for your return. Help us to be bold with your gospel, fearing not man. Give us the words to speak in wisdom and love to our friends and family that need to know you. Create opportunities for us to minister the gospel. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. We might get part two on this on Sunday. Hallelujah.